Hi.
Oh, Duke is saying hello too. It's our first guest. I'm Chad Hagen.
I'm Risa Anikoff.
This is Old Chestnuts. It's the most formal introduction
ever.
To our handful of friends who listen to this.
Right.
What did I put on? Who is this? Fuck that. we just lost listeners. Thought they were putting on Reply All or something.
Yeah, I do. Catching some real good purrs here, I think.
We have a freshly nail-trimmed cat.
Makes a world of difference. How's your first sip there?
It's delicious. It's pretty sweet. I may have went a little heavy on the simple syrup, but it tastes good.
Mm. It's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So we took a week off last week.
We've got a little bit less life in our house.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad news. I mean, I'm guessing probably the majority of the people who listen to this also follow us on Instagram. So this isn't brand new news to them.
But, no.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we no longer have our dog, Kia, which is...
very sad.
Yeah. It's pretty crushing.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think, like, I'm like, not that I probably would have anyways, but I feel like there's no way I could go back and listen to those old episodes because, especially because her nails were getting long, you can just like episode, you can hear her little nails clacking around on the ground.
And that's such a huge thing for me. I'm sure for you too, is just like the silence now.
Mm-hmm. It feels very, like, very quiet in this house.
I still
not
think
that she's like
an
exceptionally loud dog, but.
It's just like the nail clacking too.
Nail clacking.
Just because like, and it was. I would take her into the vet for them to trim them at the same time as they would do Duke's. But because of COVID, they weren't doing nail trims. And it was just like one more stressful thing to have to do that I was like, you know what? I don't want to bring her to some new place and like to some groomer that doesn't know her. And they can just get a little bit longer. So they were extra clacky and I was just... Like, towards the end, it was a big... And because she just paced so much, you know, like, at night, and it was a really big thing, the clacking.
Yeah.
So now, without it, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's getting easier day by day, but, you know, still get blindsided by little realizations or things you forget.
I just feel like you get punched in the gut.
Mm-hmm. Over the last little while... because she was on a diuretic, she would often pee right at the entrance to our kitchen. So I was really in the habit of, cause I could come downstairs in the morning when it's still dark to feed the animals. And I would always be like really on the lookout for pee. So I didn't step in it cause I did do that a few times. And I still find myself watching out for pee when I'm like coming into the kitchen and then I realize, no, unless one of the cats peed. But hopefully that's not how that starts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't want to, you know, make this a whole downer, sad episode, but it's something we've discussed on here. So we figured we should probably address it. And if anybody is, you know,
doesn't follow us on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
We haven't yet sent out an email notification through our GoFundMe that we had for her. So anybody that's, you know, we had some people that, like, that I didn't know donate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
I
like,
just kind of assumed they were all people that you...
No, there was people I didn't know. Not many, like maybe three.
Yeah.
But still, you know. I think that two of them were actually friends of my sister's.
Oh, okay.
But that's still just such a crazy thing to me.
Yeah. But yeah, it's nice that... there was some money left over, so we can donate that to... You have a specific, like, animal shelter or whatever?
I think we should do the Dogs and Animal Services. I think those ones are, like, the most hard up. You know, like, all the dog rescues, they're foster home-based. So those dogs have toys and a soft bed and a nice place, you know? But the dogs that are at Animal Services, like it's the pound.
Yeah.
You know? So the frustrating thing What have you found to play with, Duke? The frustrating thing is that they don't have a phone number to phone. You have to call 311 and go through being on hold with 311 and all that nonsense before you can reach somebody that is related to animal services. So eventually I'd like to call, find out how many on average, like how many dogs are there. And if they've got some really pressing needs, like if they have need like cleaning supplies, get a little bit of that. But I'd mostly like to just get treats and toys.
Yeah.
For them. Yeah.
Thanks again to
everybody who supported us.
Yeah. So it feels good to be able to, you know, pass on the little bit that's left. And it made a world of difference in these last couple months and allowed us to enjoy the time that we had. We had some good weeks. We had some, stretches of really, I mean, there's obviously rough days. Near the end, it was very hard. But, you know, to be able to have that time that was still enjoyable without having to just have this burden of like, and racking up debt, like trying to keep her alive.
And we had 2 months.
Yeah.
Which I think is like a pretty good shot, and like two like good months, more than we would have had otherwise. So okay,
yeah, but moving on from that,
I
feel good. Yesterday I got my little music corner of the basement cleaned up.
I'm happy you did that. And
I think I'm pretty much finished. I've had a few kind of like songs I've been working on, so like my friend Greg and I have a little music project that's been mostly dormant for years now, but called Terra de Lou. And just in the last little while, I've been kind of like digging out what I can from a salvaged hard drive and trying to finish up some of these like partially finished songs and stuff. So I think I'm happy enough with one of them that it might be done. So if I'll potentially throw it on at the end of this, if I do feel good with it. Yeah. So I mean, if you
do it up,
you might hear a song. A Terra de Lou song, or if it's clearly not me. Yeah, I think if I don't do it, I'll have to pick like a song with like a female singer or something, so it's very clear, or just something everybody knows, like Nirvana or something. But yeah, so it might be an original song at the end with featuring Risa on it, actually doing some hot vocals.
Kind of some spoken word almost. It was fun to do that, I certainly am limited in my collaborative abilities with that kind of endeavor, but that was fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was nice to get you involved. Mm-hmm. As I've stated before, I'm very bad at finishing things. I start a lot of stuff, especially creative projects. I really kind of overthink it, especially when I'm just alone. You know, I kind of need a collaborator. It was nice when Greg and I lived in the same city and we could like
get together and have a good setup
and move each other forward and stuff and like lift each other in the right direction. But it's pretty doing the long distance music project thing is not good, especially with two very busy guys and busy in different ways. But it feels good to have something. I mean, I could tinker with it forever, but at some point you just got to be like, whatever, this is what it is. Especially in kind of the way I'm doing it, of just sort of having to salvage these bits and pieces from my computer that crapped out, and just kind of whatever is on the hard drive in the format that it's in is not, I'm sort of limited as to what I can tweak at this point. So I just kind of have to, it's almost liberating in a way, in that it's like, okay, I know this is going to be imperfect. And if I was able to like go in and like tweak everything the way I'd like to, then I would probably do it forever. And now I can just be like, okay, well, this is like a flawed, but
it's okay.
But finished version. So yeah. So there's that. You might hear that at the end, but you might not. And what else has happened in the last little while?
I'm liking this. It's a good drink.
Mm-hmm, it's tasty.
Mm-hmm. I am day 29 of 30.
Oh, right. Yes, yes, yes. The yoga journey. Mm-hmm. Feeling good about it? You've had a couple two-a-days.
I had two two-a-days, and I am not ashamed of that. and I don't see that as a failure at all. Yesterday I did not do it. I did two today because yesterday's was close to 40 minutes and a more intense active one. And I just didn't have time between, you know, dealing with Lou in the morning and then taking Duke to get his nails done, dropping Lou off at my mom's, coming home, scarfing some food, finding a brief moment for a cup of coffee, and then having to go to work all night. So I made the decision, you know, if I'm going to do it, I'd rather do it when I've got the strength and the motivation, you know, to actually try. And it was the right call. Mm-hmm. I felt good doing it this morning. And I was like, I wouldn't have been able to do this yesterday. I would have just been miserable and half-assing it. And I don't want to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the other day was, I guess it would have been last Wednesday. That was when we said.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that was a little hard.
Pup.
A little tough to.
Yeah. But it's been interesting in the week and a couple of days since then. There's been a few like emotional releases relating to Kia, yeah. Like during yoga. Yeah. Like that I just can't control, which always, it hasn't happened to me very often. There's been like three times, like twice. When I've gotten a massage, and then this one time, maybe 2 or 3 days ago, doing yoga, when all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, when I just like wells up in my body and like overflows, and I'm like, this is kind of cool. And it was a very like good release. I'm like, I'm just gonna ride this out. Like it was good.
It's interesting how like how physical of a thing it can be, mm-hmm. and, like how you kind of can store emotional pain, like.
Big time in your body.
Your body.
Mm-hmm. It's very detrimental. Yeah.
I remember going for a massage one time. I hurt myself at work. And yeah, and just like all of a sudden, there's just like one spot that got hit that it was like seeing like fireworks go off in my brain or something like that. And it was just like, I don't know, it was a whole bunch of something got released.
Did you like have to cry? Or it was just like...
It wasn't necessarily like a crying emotional thing. It was more just kind of like, hard to explain. Sort of an ecstatic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like hard to describe. Like, you know, one of those just kind of like overwhelmed, like all the emotions at once, but not, not really a crying thing. It's a weird thing how that can happen. Yeah. Or, you know, the one thing I noticed, like, especially in the days leading up to... the end with Kia, I would notice myself at work, basically like just folding in on myself, you know, like almost like I was like trying to wrap my shoulders around my heart or something like that, you know, like I would just like my whole body would just be hunched over and like
just like pure protection,
yeah, and just like, you know, I mean it's kind of scary considering I'm a truck driver, but like just the way like time would pass and I would just be like. You know, like I wouldn't feel present in my body.
Yeah.
And it would just be kind of, on its own, just kind of like folding inwards.
Yeah. I can appreciate that feeling.
But yeah, no fun.
No. But it's, you just got to ride it out.
Yeah, life goes on for us. And, you know, it's...
Can I tell you something kind of funny?
Okay.
I kind of felt like a jackass that I thought about today. It happened a long time ago and I forgot to tell you. I was out for a walk. Me and Kia and Lou were going to the train tracks, like a block and three blocks from our house. As we were walking down the sidewalk, I was pulling Lou in her sled. Kia was just trotting up ahead. And half a block down, there was two women standing 6 feet apart, having a cup of coffee together outside. It was a really nice day. And it was just like, you know, I walked up on it and I like we all kind of smiled at each other. And I'm like, this is real. And I said, I'm like, this is really nice to see. I'm like, but God, it just sucks too. Like, and then the one woman was like, I know, like blah, blah, blah. And then the other one just like looks at me like pretty deadpan. She's like, yeah, we're trying not to think about it.
Fair
just
enough.
Like, I just started laughing and I was like, totally. And here I am just blah, 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 blah. I was like, well, enjoy your coffee. Good for you. Have a good day. I just felt like an asshole. Anyways.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, like where everybody's trying to find their balance, and like sometimes you can kind of find a little bit of bliss, and then somebody can really sneak in and ruin that for you. I mean, I find that with podcasts sometimes, you know, like where I'm just like, I'm having an okay day. And then all of a sudden I just throw on a podcast where somebody's just like, this fucking sucks. I can't handle this anymore. I can't do another day of this. Yeah. And it's like, oh, next.
I get that a lot at work, and it's always the same conversation.
Oh yeah.
Right. And I feel bad because it's the people I'm seeing are the vulnerable people. It's the seniors. It's the people with, you know, autoimmune conditions. It's the people with chronic illnesses. It's all the vulnerable population, and they're so isolated. And so I want to be, you know, compassionate, but it's like, this is the 12th time I've had this conversation today, you know, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm the only person you're probably going to see today.
Yeah. It's tough. It's like, yeah, understandable. And also just not something you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and maybe we're that podcast for you right now.
Right? But we're going to turn it around because we have some funny stories to talk about. Sure.
Whoa, weed stories.
Yeah,
it was actually, you know, it's funny. Like, so I was the one who was saying nobody wants to hear weed stories and we should just keep making a joke.
Why do you think nobody wants to hear weed stories?
Because like, they're not there. I just feel like it's like a thing like dreams where people are like, okay, so then you laughed and laughed and laughed, you know. So I think it's like you got to really like pick your weed story. It's got to be a funny story on its own, like regardless of the weed, I think, you know.
I'm like, a second, Duke, hang on 1 second, everybody.
I think this plug-in setup is given the occasional crackles. Sorry for that. And it's Duke keeps kind of walking in the cords, and I think that's what's causing that if you're hearing like Bop Rocks in your ears. Okay, I think it's
a bit better. Settled. He seems to have settled himself down.
For now, yeah. But yeah, I was thinking of this story. So my friend Will and I were, and all this is pre-truck driving. I haven't, for years and years, I haven't been able to smoke weed, but
it's a bummer.
At an earlier point in my life, we had obtained some weed, and we really wanted to use a bong. We got in our head. Will had this bong he wanted to use, but he had lent it to a friend of his who lived with a couple of other guys at a house on Ebby. And we're like, okay, we're going to go to their house and go try to get the bong. And we get to their house and nobody's home. And like, so the one guy was his friend who I also like know, like I went to school with him, was never like a close friend with him, but know him. And then the other two or three guys who lived there, I didn't know at all. And Will barely knew. So we went and nobody was home, but we like really at this point had it in our head that we wanted to use this bong. So we're like, let's go around to the back of the house and like see if we can get in a window or something to go try to find this bong.
Did you have the weed with you?
Yeah, we had the weed. We just, and I think we had other means of smoking it, but we had just kind of, you know, got this in our head. Like we want to use that bong. So we were able to get a kitchen window open. Like went around to their backyard onto their deck, and like they had a kitchen window that wasn't closed. So we like crawled through the window, and went and got the bong. And then we're like, ah, let's just like smoke it here. So we like sat on the couch in their house, nobody home.
And smoked weed in their house? Oh,
so,
man.
So we were doing that, and we got so, so, so high. And then we're like, they had two coffee tables that they had put like side to side because they had a big L-shaped couch. And then they like, because it was such a big space, they had like kind of two, like one round and one rectangular coffee table. So we're like, let's switch them so that the rectangular one's where the round one is. Oh, you know, and just see if they like notice or anything. And then, so we did that. And then all of a sudden I got a phone call, and it was my sister. It was Trish, my oldest sister. And we were planning a surprise party for my mom. And I could have just said, Trish, I'm really high, you know, like there's no reason I shouldn't have just done that. But like, for some reason I just kind of like panicked and like didn't. And then, so she's just like, just immediately like laying information on me, like things I need to take care of for this surprise party coming up. And like, just like all these moving parts that I've like got to really like make note of. And I'm just like, you know, like, and just the whole surrounding of like being in the stranger's house that we had just broken into to get the bong, and just like barely functioning at this point, like just giggling like idiots on the couch. And all of a sudden I'm just like trying to like, okay. Like as it's like going in one ear, it's just going out the other one. And I'm like, oh man. And like Will's just watching as I'm just getting so serious. Like anyways. And then I think when we just left, they never came home.
Did you leave out the kitchen window again?
I can't remember. I don't know. But then I think Will was there like weeks later and like brought up the coffee tables, and they didn't even notice.
Bunch of stoners too. Yeah,
just like bachelor house. I don't even think the other guys that lived there were like stoners. They were like big time wilderness guys. They were really into like hunting and like doing the Manterio Trail and stuff like that.
Interesting.
But I think it was just like, just dudes who, you know, like furniture was not something that, you know, there's like,
but I mean,
just
it would have reeked when they got home too. But I guess if the one guy like smoked weed anyways, they probably would have just been like, oh, it's him. No biggie.
Yeah.
That's very funny. I don't think I really have a funny story like that now that you've told yours.
I don't know. I feel like Will and I have like very, on like a number of occasions, like run into something where they're like, oh no, like this is too heavy to deal with right now. There's a couple I can think of like that. One of them is definitely not funny. It's really like sad. But one time we were driving over we were driving over the Memorial Bridge, and like, I mean, again, I know driving stoned is not a good idea, but I would do this it sometimes. And, and we were like, just got really, really giggly stoned, and all of a sudden we like see a guy like climbing over like to jump off the bridge. Jesus. And I'm just like, fuck, that guy's gonna jump off the bridge. So we were already moving, so we like finally stopped at like the end of the bridge. I'm like, we gotta stop, and so we like pull over, and I'm just like, oh my god, like what am I, I'm supposed to like talk a guy out of suicide? Like fucking, like I'm like, minutes ago we were like just fucking like pumping Jay-Z and like giggling about like some like made up, you know, scenario or whatever. So I was like, fuck. So I'm like walking down the bridge. And then like, by the time we got there, some other like pedestrians had like started talking to him and like got him to come back on the other side of the guardrail. And then slowly, like kind of a whole group was kind of gathering around him and stuff. And I'm just like, okay, like we're of no use here. Like let's carry on. And then another one that just made us feel like real dirtbags, but we were going to a movie. And again, we're just very, very high. And it was like a cold, cold winter day. And we like pulled into a parking spot. And then as soon as we pulled in, we noticed like the car next to us was like two young teenage girls, like who had gotten a flat tire and were like trying to figure out like how to change their flat tire. And we were just we're like, oh no, no, no. And Will's just like, go, 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 go. We drove to another spot and we're just like, we're awful, but we just couldn't deal with it in that moment.
Yeah.
Like we can't like get out. And like, and I mean, we were like probably in our early 20s, you know, and there's like these two like 16, 17 year old girls. And I'm just like, no, I can't change your tire right now.
Oh, that's funny. I feel like that's pretty understandable. Have you ever encountered any, like a medical emergency, like driving by or anything before?
Yeah. Not stoned, I don't think. No, I wasn't stoned. I was driving home and I saw a guy walking on Henderson, and he just collapsed and like face plant. I think he was having a seizure or something, like face plant, and then his face just like cracked open, like bloody. And I was just like immediately like pulled over. I had to credit, because I was in like the far left lane of Henderson. I like cut across traffic into the right lane and like stopped and got out, called 911. Yeah, that was pretty scary. And then I saw a guy on Barry get just smoked by a car, fly in the air. Yeah, that was only a few years ago.
Right.
Oof. And that was like, just like within the shock, like he just got up right away and was like, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, and like, he's just like pouring blood.
Yeah.
That was very intense.
I always think, because with my job, I have a bunch of medical supplies in my car, in our car. So I'm always like, I'm stocked. I'm ready. you know, if anything were to happen, I'm ready.
Yeah, I definitely felt pretty helpless in those moments. You know, I'm just like, mm-hmm. I can call 911, but I don't know what to do. You know, like I've done like first aid course and stuff like that, but like they're not breathing. Like they're just like, I don't know. I'm just, I mean, like, don't move. Like,
yeah, you know, just like, wait, the ambulance will be here.
Yeah. I mean, that's the main thing is, you mm-hmm. know, people try to get up and stuff and it's just like trying to convince them to like not freak out and not move.
My mom was driving down Osborne in front of the Legion. We were driving north and I saw a guy that was like, just like looked really dazed and he was holding his arm and he was right by a bike. He just didn't look right. And I'm like, Mom, pull over. I think he broke his arm. Pull over. So she pulled over and there was a woman that was riding her bike and he kind of like stopped her and I guess was asking for help. And she looked so uncomfortable and just didn't look like she had the capacity to help at all. And so she left. I stayed and asked him what happened. And he had been riding his bike and carrying a spare tire. And there was some like metal piece, I don't know, kind of like a lever. And he fell and he like landed on the lever. And he's like, yeah, he's like, my arm. And then he goes and he was wearing a sweater and he goes to pull up his sleeve. And like, as he does that, the whole top layer of skin and muscle like pulls back from his arm as he's doing that. And I'm like, stop, put your sleeve down. Okay. Like, oh God. And then, he wouldn't let us like call an ambulance. He was only a couple blocks away from home. So he's like, my girlfriend will come and get me. And anyway, so we waited with him and she came and we loaded up his bike and she took him to the hospital. And then, I actually saw him again riding his bike not too long after that.
Did you like pretend to drive into him? Like,
knock him off his bike again? Like, can I help you? Are you hurt?
Have you ever rode in an ambulance before?
No.
No.
Have you?
Yeah, once from football.
Oh, your injury there.
Yeah, I got...
yes, I have.
You have?
Yes, I did when I dislocated my knee at school.
Oh, that's, right. Yeah. We talked about that. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And they gave me the nitrous and I was like, woo, flying is great. I think that's the only time though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had to like drive out onto the field. Mm-hmm. It like held up the game for a really long time because they didn't want to move me. It ended up not being like that serious of an injury, but they just didn't want to take any chances because I got like a helmet right in my lower back. It was just, it was very sore. And so they like cut my shoulder pads and my jersey and everything off of me. And like, yeah. And then I remember going to the hospital and it's funny, like my friend Dave, actually the guy that I started the band with and we played football together. I was in the hospital and then all of a sudden he showed up there too. He like broke his ankle.
Oh, weird.
So then like later my back was like feeling a little better and we were both just like in wheelchairs. So we were like having like wheelchair races and stuff. But yeah, it was just funny that in all my years of playing, did not see a lot of guys go to the hospital. And it's just funny that like in one game, me and my friend would both end up at the hospital together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I remember, just kind of having to like lay up in bed for a while. So I like had a friend come like sleep over later that night. And I think we watched like Silence of the Lambs or something like that together and like ate a bunch of candy.
I remember being young and wanting to watch Silence of the Lambs, and my dad was like, no, you're not allowed to watch that. But we were too young to watch that. But funny enough, and I still don't know how this happened. He rented Boogie Nights for us to watch.
Well, how old would you have been?
Too young. Like, uh-huh. I don't know. I'll ask my sister if she remembers. But I mean, 12, 11, 10, that kind of range. And so we were like watching Boogie Nights, me and my sister and my dad. And then I got to the scene and I just want to make sure I'm not like misremembering or making this up, but is there a scene where there's two people having sex on a driveway?
Yeah.
Okay. So that came when all of a sudden he's just like, wham, and like shut the TV off. And like, did you not like read the jacket to see what this was about or whatever? And then, I mean, obviously when he wasn't home the next day, my sister and I just watched the movie, but. It was kind of funny.
It's a great movie. There was like no like to a fault, like no limits on really what I saw growing up. Especially like my, you know, my brother would just like watch whatever when I was in the room. I can remember one time he rented like a movie called Frankenhooker. And like, yeah, it was just, I mean, you can imagine from the title what the premise was. And, I remember watching that. I remember him watching like Hellraiser and I don't know, just lots of intense movies. And I mean, when I was a kid, like I watched all the like Arnold and Van Damme movies and stuff. And those are all pretty, pretty brutal violence.
Yeah.
And like most of them have like sex and stuff in them too. But I mean, yeah, like I feel like the violence is almost more jarring to
see in any like martial arts violence. I love, and my dad is so on board with that too. So we'd watch that kind of stuff, but it's almost different. Like when it's like really well executed, like just very cool and intricate. And
well, and those don't normally get gory. Like
that's, that's the thing. There's no gore. I remember when Ong Bak, Thai Warrior came out, I went to see it twice in the theater in the same day. That's how hardcore of a fan I was. And I have that movie on DVD in the basement. It's just so cool. Like, it's just that kind of martial arts is just, it's just amazing. Oh, shoot. I can't remember now.
I don't know either.
Movie related? Oh, I remember being young and in the basement at my mom's house watching Pet Sematary. And my dog, like my childhood dog, Max, was a scruffy terrier mix. And it was like similar to the one that gets buried. And I just remember being freaking the fuck out and like looking at my dog and like shutting the movie off. And I was just, I could not handle it. It was way too much. Those candles are crazy.
Yeah, I could never handle any like animal stuff. I mean, still.
I never finished that movie, but I don't really feel the need to.
No. I don't know if I've ever watched that one. My brother was a huge Stephen King fan. Like he had all the Stephen King books and would watch all the movies. But I don't know if I ever really like sat and watched that one with him. I'm sure I like probably caught bits of it. Yeah. Like coming in and out of the room, but like was not like too into scary stuff when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, me neither. I like read a bunch of Stephen King books because my mom had them. But didn't see a lot of the movies.
No. Did you?
Saw It, watched like It when we were little, and then, not little, but younger. And then I remember going upstairs into my sister's room after we watched it and hiding under her desk and waiting for her to come in, turn out the lights, get into bed. And I was like, rah! And I scared the shit out of her. It was super funny.
Your shit.
Super funny.
You didn't really watch too much TV growing up, did you?
I mean, I'm sure I did. I don't know. There's nothing really that like sticks out.
Yeah.
I think I just like my main escape was reading. Reading.
Can you remember any shows you liked when you were young?
Like young how?
I don't know. I really pick any point. Yeah.
I mean, if it was brought up, I would probably be like, oh, yeah, I remember that kind of thing. But nothing where I'm like, I was a diehard fan.
I can remember like when I was really little, I remember watching Ninja Turtles. I can remember like there was like a room in my basement where my grandma would like just sit and like chain smoke. My grandma lived with us and she would sit and like chain smoke in there and like mostly watch like the news and like meetings of parliament and stuff like that. And, but then I would sit there and watch, Ninja Turtles and Lauren Green's New Wilderness.
Never heard of it.
It was like an animal show narrated by Lauren Green. He's like an old actor. He was on Bonanza and stuff, but it was like, just kind of like a wildlife show. I just liked animals.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, as I got like maybe in kind of later elementary, I remember I loved Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, yeah. That was huge. See, yeah, I watched that. No, Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, yeah. Pinky and the Brain. That was like a little bit later.
And Ren and Stimpy. Yeah, both of those ones.
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy, like, I feel like grade 5, grade 6, like, that was when I like, loved Ren and Stimpy.
The Simpsons. We watched a decent amount of The Simpsons, too.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, I can remember, like, Simpsons, like, first kind of starting when I was, like, grade 2, grade 3. I can remember, like, the kids who stayed, because I lived right next door to the school, so I, like, always went home for lunch. But I can remember the kids who stayed for lunch hour at school and then bringing the TV in and like letting us watch Simpsons and stuff.
Yeah. See, I don't have any age reference points for that stuff. Like it could have been when I was 6. It could have been when I was 12. Yeah. Like it just all is like it just all blurs together.
I can mostly kind of place it in sort of like the friends that I talked about it with, you know, who shared that interest with me. Also around that time, like probably late elementary, was when I first started getting into David Letterman. Though it was like, I was really always had to kind of like push my luck to be able to like stay up late enough to watch any of it. And I usually wasn't watching more than kind of the opening monologue and maybe the first, you know, few jokes, maybe up to the top 10 list, but like not really seeing the guests at that time. And then also there was like a couple stand-up comedy shows like Evening at the Improv and Caroline's Comedy Hour and stuff. That I would, like, as long as possible, ignore my mom telling me to go to bed just to try to watch that. And I would, the way my bedroom was set up, like, if the door was open, I could kind of, like, see through into where the TV was, you know? If I, like, slid down in my bed. So I would, like, slide, like, halfway down so that my pillow was, like, at the midpoint of my bed. And then I could, like, look through the door, through the hall, and, like, see the TV.
Yeah.
And, like, just try, like, I wasn't understanding the jokes anyways. It was just like the people laughing and like, you know, the rhythms of it and stuff. Like I was just like, it's like there's a person talking and people are going crazy laughing. You know, like it was just, I loved that. And then throughout junior high, like I just became more and more of a David Letterman fan. Like I always just, you know, wanted to stay up late to watch Letterman. And that was a big one for me. And then in high school, I remember getting into Tom Green.
Oh, yeah. I watched that a bit.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, and tons of other shows. I watched quite a bit of TV when I was young. I was a big Much Music watcher. Like, I just, like, would just veg out watching music videos for forever.
I remember, I'm like, there's, like, part of me that's embarrassed to admit this because, like, it's just, I mean, I know what's the, lots of people were doing it and it's the time and everything. But when the internet first started, being in the basement, and watched like going on the website Consumption Junction. Did you ever go on there? It was awful. Like it was like awful like internet videos that nobody should be watching.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and like yeah. Yeah. Watch a lot of that. And like with my friend group, we'd go to their houses and we'd just watch all these sick fucking videos. Like sick videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then be on MSN chatting, you know, when it got too late and we had to go home.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, I definitely saw a lot of that kind of shit. It was a real, I mean, I'm sure it still goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a real generational thing, the kind of like the humor that kind of came out. Or like you know, like people just really sort of like wanting to push the offensive, edgy thing. I mean, I definitely took part in that, like, you know, lots of people did. And I mean, it was just kind of like the whole like Maxim magazine, Family Guy, like that whole vibe of just like,
we watched a lot of Family Guy. I did.
Just like bro-y, like pushing the limits of tastelessness kind of
thing. Tastelessness.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, just so many gory, awful things.
Yeah, the internet stuff definitely had gory, like, well, I mean, did you ever see, like, the Faces of Death videos and stuff, like, pre-internet, like?
I don't think so.
There were these videos that would get kind of passed around and stuff, and they were just awful.
Hmm.
I don't know how we got on all this.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about
Faces of Death, that's for sure.
Remember when I got high with your mom at your sister's wedding?
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was weird because like growing up, like they were, yeah.
And your brother, right?
Yeah. I mean, my brother definitely, that's a different story. I can remember going out to BC right after I got back from Italy. I think I'd only been back for like a few weeks from Italy. And then my brother asked me to come out to BC. And I was like, well, I'm not working yet or anything. Like, I hadn't found a new job. So I was like, okay. And I remember smoking oil and then riding like ATVs up the side of the mountain. And then just like getting up to the top. And there's just like this beautiful view. And it was very fun.
Yeah, that sounds pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, where he lives in Chilliwack, like, he's right in the valley. Like, it's mountains all around you. So, it's just a great place for doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Though Chilliwack's really grown since those days. It's, like, a little more sprawling. A little bit more of, like, the Vancouver sprawl has reached out there. It's less of a small town feel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my last memory. I'm sure it's maybe even more so now, because it's been years since I've been to Chilliwack. I mean, last time I was there would have been trucking, but like I was like stayed at the Husky there. Didn't really get the full feel for Chilliwack. But I just remember the traffic being really bad last time I visited my brother there. Just because like the population had overgrown the capacity of the town.
Right. So what else?
What else? Here's something I was thinking of. What are some ways you can see that you've changed? Say, I don't know, pick any period, like maybe your early 20s to now. What are some things that like maybe would have been a trait people would have said about you or that you would have said about yourself that you feel is not the case anymore?
Oh, boy. I was actually thinking kind of like along these lines about this not very long ago. I feel like I am a completely different person, even in the last 4 years, 3 years. You know, I feel like that's when I've had the most growth and the most like coming into myself and the most security in who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's definitely traits that have carried through my whole entire life. But I think just, you know, if you think of from my early 20s, mid 20s to now, like, I don't know. And I don't know if it's really any different than anyone else, but like, it's just so much, like a lot of partying and a lot of lack of direction and just sort of just it is what it is kind of deal. And now it's different.
Yeah. Is it any specific kind of things you can see that have changed about you?
How I view myself and what I have to contribute and just more confidence maybe that I do have like worthy things to contribute. And I feel like this is like a big topic.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me anyways, I feel like it's a big topic. I look back and get a little bit sad when I think about how like men impacted my life and things that I thought were just okay and just acceptable. And like, now I'm like, that was not okay. You know, like
mm-hmm.
That's been a really big change. I noticed that big time, like after I had Lou, like I just like did a complete like 180 and was like, okay, like this is like just things that make me super aware of how I want her to view herself and like her place in society versus the whole patriarchy and everything. 'Cause there's just so many like unfortunate stereotypes and that, you know, you just believe that this is the way it is because that's the way it is, but it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So now that's been the biggest shift is me being like looking back and being like, that's not right. But I didn't have the guidance growing up to know that. Does that make any sense?
Right. No, I mean, that makes sense. And I think also just, not even just, I think personally for you not having the guidance, I think, you know, we lived in a culture that, you know, kind of obscured that.
Yeah.
You know, willfully definitely. Obscured that for yeah. me. So that's understandable. I mean, that's a big thing from the other end that I think about a lot. I've definitely thought about more and more over the, you know, not even just having Lou, but just as kind of the cultural conversation has kind of shifted around that. It's definitely, yeah, something I have to think about. And now even more so having a daughter.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Put a lot of thought into it. And a lot of, it's not regret, because it's just, I accept the situation and like situations and just sort of, you know, it's led me to this growth. But there are like certain things where I wish I could kind of go back and be like, say something, speak up for myself. I'm better. That's something that's changed too, I think, is that I'm a bit better at speaking up for myself. And that's also something I'm very aware of, is that I don't want to be seen as a pushover. And I look at this example through work, because there are some nurses that just will complain and bitch about everything. And maybe it's because I'm part-time, and also because like that's just not where I choose to spend my energy, is complaining about every little thing. But I am also like quite patient and tolerant until I'm not, you know, like, and that kind of reminds me like, okay, you're not a pushover. You're not just going to stand and be meek and just let, you know, somebody walk all over you or say this, that, or the other thing. It's just that I've got, you know, like a high, you know, like I guess where I decide to allot my energy is it's pretty specific, I guess. But there is that line.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You know, it's funny. The next thing I was going to ask you was like, if there's things that when we first got together that you thought about me that like as our relationship progressed, you realized like that I'm different than what you initially thought. And me, as far as you, I was going to say, like, one, my initial impression of you was that you were very gregarious, very flirty, and like, but then pertaining to the pushover thing, like, you were also like pretty, I don't know, pretty strong headed and like not one to, like, I think one thing that is like definitely an issue is like so many women are like taught to apologize quickly, whereas like an impression I got of you like pretty quickly is like she doesn't apologize.
That's funny.
And like, yeah, so like I you know, you never struck me as a pushover, but over time one thing that's changed is like I noticed that you are a little more sensitive and introverted, and like, yeah, like that, you know, I mean, I whatever, people contain multitudes. Like you were flirty, you were gregarious, but then you also, I would say even more so, kind of swing in the other direction.
That's because you got to know me. Like, I feel like I've always had that initial like persona, you know?
Yeah. But you like, I mean, even still, like in our relationship, you're still pretty like, you're pretty firm in your opinions and stuff, you know, like that, which is a good thing. Like, you know, you're probably more so than me, like, but like you know yourself better than I do. So like, if that's something you still like feel like you're developing, then good. But like, I think it's an admirable trait of yours, if sometimes frustrating, but still admirable.
Have I gotten better at saying sorry?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that's suggesting that like I feel like you've had reasons to say you're sorry over the last while.
I guess not, since I'm always right.
Is there, turning it back though, is there things that you thought about me initially that as time went on, you maybe like realized it was something different?
This right now is making me feel like I need to journal so I remember things. Like, you know, like.
I will say, well, you think about that. As far as like looking back on myself and things that have changed, like two things I would say is I think I'm less funny than I was.
Really?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, maybe in a different way, you know, but I think like that's like when I was younger, that would probably would have been if somebody was like, oh, you know, Chad, like what's a trait about Chad? Like, I think that would have been a common thing. People would say like, okay. Oh yeah, he's a funny guy, you know, like, which like, I don't really think people who've met me like more like recently in my life, that would be something they would say. Like they probably like,
right.
If anything, like, it's kind of boring, but like, I think probably like nice or something would be the thing that would come up like the most and like people who, you know me a little more recently. I think I'm also a little less, sharp, like a little less mentally agile and stuff. Like I think I've got more like wisdom, like more kind of accrued knowledge or something like that. But I think as far as like my quickness, you know, like I think that's, I've lost a bit of that.
That I don't know. I feel like you are still like quick and
yeah. I mean, maybe it's just agile. How I feel. Yeah. It's just something I can notice within myself, but maybe related to both of those things. I think I'm more comfortable. And yeah. I think like a lot of that comes from you. Like, I think when we first got together, like I was somebody who would come home from work and like would like just stay in my work clothes or my jeans all day. And like, just always like kind of vibrated at a pretty high frequency, you know, which I think contributed to me like being able to come up with a quick joke or like maybe like trying to entertain or something like that and like going for a joke or just, you know, just general sort of, like intelligence or whatever. But could also probably just be obnoxious, you know, like where it was just like too much sometimes. Whereas now, like, I prioritize comfort more, which is something like from early on, you were like always really good at, you know, like you were like, you knew how to relax, how to get cozy. Like, and like now I'm like, throwing sweatpants, yeah, some slippers.
Definitely.
This is a silly thing, but like, I remember like, I was like repulsed by the idea of peeing in the shower. And like, that's something you're like, I pee in the shower all the time. And I'm just like, finally, I'm just like, yeah, I guess I could pee in the shower. You know, things like that, that I never would have done before. Like I would have been too, I don't know, maybe uptight is the word, or just too like, kind of like wound a little too, yeah, a little too tight or something for it. And I'm just a little looser and maybe, looser. So maybe that's kind of contributed to just me like slowing down mentally a little bit.
But maybe that's a good thing. I do agree about the, yeah, you do seem that you're a bit looser. Yeah. And you're not vibrating quite as high, you know, like, I mean, I still think you're funny, which is great for our relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of my humor these days is catered to you and Luella.
Yeah. But it's all right. Cause it makes me laugh when you call me a worm.
Yeah. I mean, we do a lot less socializing these days too.
Well, that's the thing too. Like our measure has gone down a bit.
Yeah.
But I think overall, as you age, you do become more comfortable with who you are. All your priorities change. Your brain changes. And, there's just a lot more acceptance overall. Not with everything, but just a lot more. The world is not as big and important as when I was younger, right? Like what was important was what people thought about me, what I was doing, what I was wearing, where I was going, you know, like all those kinds of things, all those like extrinsic kind of things. Mm-hmm. Whereas now what's important is a lot closer to my heart, you know?
Yeah.
Like priorities have changed, I think, as I've gotten older.
It's funny, like it's something that came up at my sort of little mini bachelor party thing I had out at the cabin with like Ben and Greg and Chris and Reka and Kia. Kia wasn't part of the conversation, but we were talking about
emotional support dog.
Yeah. About like caring what people think and like kind of our phases of that, you know? And I was thinking like the phase when a lot of people, you really gotta pee.
I can power through.
We'll wrap it up pretty soon. when a lot of people really care, like high school, I probably cared less. I cared a lot more about like amusing myself in high school. Like I did a lot of things. If anything, I was like maybe slightly snobby in that. Like I kind of looked down on like a lot of kind of like the general like high school worries and stuff, you know, and more was like concerned in like making myself laugh, you know?
Yeah.
And then kind of as I got more into my like mid-20s, you know, I think I started caring more at that time what people thought than anything. Like, I think like sort of around like maybe a little before when we met, but sort of like as I entered the social circle that like Jamil had already kind of, Jamil and Ryan and those guys had sort of become a part of. I had like not really, I'd been very like hermity for a while, you know, like I lived next door to where I worked and like kind of like existed within a parking lot for some time. And,
that was like your main friend group too, right? Was like your Sobeys people?
Yeah, kind of for a while. Like we kept it pretty tight then. And then as I sort of, I mean, I always kept in touch with like all those guys, but like they definitely started doing their own thing and were like out like just partying a lot more, you know, as like the whole 80s night, mod night, indie night kind of thing all started to become a real scene and stuff. Like, and I, yeah, started coming into that. Like I definitely like, it definitely seemed like a little more kind of fashion obsessed and like all that kind of stuff. But like a really fun, cool, creative group of people, but like a different set of concerns that I like hadn't really had that all of a sudden I found myself having, you know, like, and then it's just like, as time's gone on, I've kind of come out of that again. But yeah, it's weird. Like in high school, I didn't really have a lot of that like peer kind of anxiety that kind of came a little later. And yeah, so we were talking about that, and it seemed like I wasn't alone in that, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what you said that prompted that, but you said something along those lines.
I don't remember either.
Yeah, but I can see you shaking and jiggling, and we're already over an hour, so...
Are we over an hour?
Decent time to wrap it up. Yeah, just past an hour.
Well, jeepers.
I feel like I had other stuff to bring up, but I mean, we got lots of time. Like, we're heading out to the cabin next weekend.
Yeah.
So we'll probably try to bang out a few of these.
While we're there. But it's really nice. We're going for three whole nights. Four days, three nights.
I need it. It'd be nice.
Yeah.
I think it'll be sad too. Like,
yep.
It's definitely like Kia shined at the cabin. Yeah. So we'll give out the email address. That's
ResaChad2018@gmail.com.
That's the one. And, you know, all the usual questions, comments.
We've gotten no topic suggestions
yet. No.
Hint, hint. We have a couple lined up.
Just got the
things we've talked about. Enjoying
the show. The show's great. You guys are the best. Best thing I've ever heard. But, like, really, we need some topics. You can, you know, if you use Apple Podcasts, you can rate and review us.
That's fun.
You don't have to.
I subscribed and gave us 5 stars, guys. Well, I think I'm one of three four. Reviews, one of four. Reviews.
Woo-woo. No reviews. I mean, we just got ratings.
Yeah.
But we got four 5-star ratings.
Hey.
And, the microphone. I forgot about that whole part of this
concept.
What
did we leave it at last time?
$1,000. We bumped it up to $1,000. Yeah. Because we dropped it down to 300.
Did we get pretty like buzzed that night? I think we did.
Yeah.
And then we were like, it's $1,000.
Did we get buzzed that night?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, we said $1,000.
That seems crazy. I mean, I'm enjoying this, but.
Let's go back to 600.
Okay.
I don't know.
Sure, why not? It doesn't matter. It's just nonsense. Let's do 600.
And what is there any other business? Oh, yeah. And if my song, if the Terry DeLue song plays, it's called Cravings, and you'll hear that now. But if not, if I decide it's not ready yet, then you'll hear something else.
Something awesome and fun, like Robin.
Okay. That takes me back to a specific time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We'll play that for Lou tomorrow and see how it makes me feel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had a little Haim dance party earlier today.
I love that she's right now into like, this song makes me feel.
Yeah, there's like, because it's whatever. Mostly like upbeat ones. Yeah. And then there was one with like no drums. And she's like, makes me a little sad.
But she does it with like all the music we put on too. Mm-hmm. And you'll kind of see her stop and look. And then you know what also throws me is that she listens to the lyrics now. Yeah. Right. And like all of a sudden she'll, I can't remember what we were listening to, but she repeated couple of the lyrics back, and I was like, oh, that's very cool.
Is it Easy?
It was Baby Got Back. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Let yourself stray into those old cravings.